All right, so is everybody ready for God's word this morning? Anybody want to hear from the Lord? I do too. I'm ready. Let's pray and let's invite him in this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come to you this morning, Lord, and I'm just thankful, Lord, for an opportunity to come in and just worship you with my friends and my family this morning. God, I lift up your name. And Lord, your word says when your name is lifted up that you'll draw all men unto you. And so, Father, this morning, that's my prayer. Lord, that you would draw us closer to you. Those that don't know you, that they would draw, that come all the way to the foot of the cross to get to know you this morning. For those of us that do know you, God, I pray that we would deepen our relationship through your word today, that it would speak into our hearts and our minds, and God, that we would apply it to our lives and let it change us. So that when we walk out of those doors today, God, that we're more like you than we were when we came in. And Lord, that's my prayer today. I pray for your anointing upon this message. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So I wonder how many of you have ever watched a movie or maybe even a whole TV series, and you've watched it, and you get to the end, and you're like, wait, that's how this is going to end? What in the world? No way. There's no way this can end like that. Anybody ever been there? If you're watching, type in, I've been there. I know what you're talking about, Pastor. And so, you know, when you get to the end of these series and you get these crazy endings, it always just brings up a bunch of questions inside of me. I'm like, wait, did they get back together? Or did the good guy live? Or did the bad guy, did he get killed? And because I don't know if you know it, sometimes they look dead, but they're not, you know? And so you're like, did he come back to life? What's going to happen? But it's so funny to me that the endings can really make or break a movie, can't it? And so I just hate a bad ending when there's no resolution, you don't know what's going to happen. And so... But I just want to tell you this morning, if you hate bad endings, I got some really bad news for you this morning. You're not going to like Jonah chapter 4. Because I want to tell you, it has one of the weirdest and cliffhanger endings that you've ever seen in a Bible story today. And so today we're going to conclude our series on Jonah, and it's in chapter 4. And it's... To be honest, it's probably the most difficult chapter of Jonah for me to preach this morning, and I believe that it's probably going to be one of the most frustrating chapters for you to hear. And so now that I've got you excited about today's message, you guys are pumped up, right? You're ready to go? All right, well, let's review a little bit about where we've been over the last few weeks, okay? The last 3 weeks, we've been talking about the book of Jonah. There's four chapters. So chapter one, if you remember, we titled it A Wail of a Prayer. And it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And it said, go and preach to the Ninevites because their wickedness has come up before me. And so what do we see Jonah do? He hates the Ninevites. He just cannot stand them because they were such an evil people. And so Jonah, instead of going to Nineveh, he gets on a ship and he sails for Tarshish, headed in the opposite direction. And so we know that in this chapter one that God sends a storm, and the sailors, they get scared and freaked out, and they throw Jonah overboard. And then we see that God provided a big fish to swallow up Jonah. All right, so that's chapter one. Now let's go to chapter two and look at it really quick. Jonah prayed, it says, and God had mercy. And it says that the fish vomited Jonah out upon the shore. So God had mercy. Everybody say, God had mercy. That's right, because God had mercy on Jonah, and he vomited him out of his mouth. And when you think about it, that fish had two distinct exits, if you will. And so I'm saying, God had mercy on my brother, right? Because he could have came out okay, never mind. All right, so God had mercy on Jonah. He vomited him out. Okay, you can tell I'm a kid's pastor at heart. I'm sorry. And so, anyways, let's go to chapter 3. All right, let's get past that one. Jonah chapter 3, it says, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. How many of you are thankful for a God of second chances? You see, our God doesn't just call us, but he calls us back. And so what did Jonah do? Well, he finally obeyed the Lord, didn't he? And he wasn't happy about it, though. He did it begrudgingly, and he wasn't happy about it. But he did preach to the Ninevites, but he preached a really short message, a very direct message. And he says, you've got 40 days to repent of your sins, or God's just going to destroy you. What a message. I can't imagine getting up here before you today with a message like that and so short. I would feel like, wow, church is already over. But he preaches this message, and the crazy thing is that these evil people, the Ninevites, they actually turn to God. And then how does the Lord respond to their repentance? When they repent, chapter 3 tells us that when God saw that they repented, God relented. And God relented, and he didn't bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. And so God had mercy on some of the most evil people that ever walked the face of this planet, even when they didn't deserve it. When they repented, God relented. And so the whole nation, from the king all the way from the richest to the poorest, every one of them turned to God. But how do you think Jonah responded to that? You see, he was the preacher, he was the prophet, and he went into this city and he did this one simple message, and revival breaks out. And everybody gives their heart to Jesus. They all turn towards God. Can I tell you this morning, if I were to preach a message to you and everybody in here just turned to God, I'm going to tell you, I'd be one of the happiest guys in this county today. I would just be excited, and I would just be worshiping the Lord and thanking him for what he's did. It'd be like the greatest day ever. But Jonah, he preached, and they repented, but Jonah wasn't happy about it. He wasn't worshiping. He was upset. Jonah was just mad. And Jonah 4:1 tells us this. It says, but Jonah, to him, this seemed very wrong. And he became what? Everybody say this with me. He became angry. And he was furious. Like, he was just like, this isn't fair, God. These people are evil, and they don't deserve your mercy. But God relented on them. And he's saying, God, this isn't fair. God, this isn't what I, you know, and he's just upset. But then our scripture goes on to say this, and it says, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? So basically he's saying, Lord, I told you this was going to happen. I told you, God, this is what you're going to do. And he says, that's why I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. And so now we see that Jonah, he's about to complain about some of the most beautiful attributes of God. He says, God, I knew you were like this. I knew it. And he's basically saying, you know what, God? I like it when you apply your grace to me, but I don't really like it when you do it with them. And this is what God has to say about that. Jonah is still speaking here. I'm getting ahead of myself. And so what he says to God now, he says, I knew, these are the attributes that he's complaining about, okay? He says, I knew that you are a gracious, you are a compassionate God, you are slow to anger and abounding in love. What beautiful attributes of God, and Jonah's complaining about them. But I want us to pause here for just a minute. What kind of a God do we serve this morning? My goodness, we serve an amazing God. We serve a gracious, compassionate God who's slow to anger and abounding in love. And then after Jonah knows that this is the God he's serving, he says, you know what? I don't like what you're doing, God. I don't like it at all. So you know what? Just take away my life. It'd be better for me if I didn't even live. You're thinking, wow. You see, if you're going to let these people off, He said, then don't even let me live. That's what Jonah's saying. And I want us to slow down for just a minute here, and I want us to take a look at Jonah and acknowledge that, you know, there is a lot of drama going on in this chapter already, right? I mean, this is God, and Jonah's throwing this fit, and now he's just out there throwing a hissy fit. Anybody throw a hissy fit before? Anybody know what that is? Some of these younger kids are like, hissy fit, what is that? But Jonah, you know, it would be so easy for us to throw him under the bus, wouldn't it? We could throw him under the bus, but when we put ourselves in his shoes, I want us to remember in week one, Remember I told you about the Ninevites, the Assyrians that lived in Nineveh, and how they would rape the women and they would kill kids and they would just torture the men with an unbelievable torture. And so when you look at Jonah, though, I want you to understand that some historians, they're going to say that Jonah probably had family that was destroyed by these Ninevites, okay? And so basically, he was upset. And so we got to give him a little bit of credit, because we have to understand that Jonah, he had some sort of a history with these Ninevites. He knew how evil they were. But the Bible says that finally he went and he preached to the Ninevites, and he tells them this short message: 40 days from now, you better turn or God will destroy you. And so Jonah shows us something it's a problem in many of our lives today. Whenever I get to reading this scripture and I look at Jonah, and one of the problems that I think that a lot of us have today, you can have it, I can have it, and that's this, is he shows us that it's possible to do the will of God without the heart of God. And when I think about that, I tell you, it hits home for me sometimes. You see, it's possible to do what God wants, but to do it with the wrong attitude and even with the wrong motives at times. It's easy to do that. And sometimes we do that. You know, like we're like, God, I'll do this because you told me to, but I don't really like it. Or I'm going to do the right thing, but I'm going to do it with the wrong motives. And it could be any number of ways in our lives when we think about this. It could be, you know, God, I'm going to give what you told me to give, God, but I don't really want to. Or I'll forgive what they did to me, God, because you're telling me I have to, but I'm not going to forget what they did. You're getting a little quiet on me. Like, I'll go to church, but I don't have time to serve. I'll go to church, but sometimes it just needs to be someone else that watches the kids, right? So it's possible to do the will of God without the heart of God. And boy, y'all are really quiet. I wish there was some sound going on in here right now. It hits home. It hits home to me. It hits home to me this morning. As I studied this week, I prayed and repented several times. But the story continues in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 5. It tells us this. It says, Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place. I want you to see, where did he sit down? Say it with me. He sat down east of the city, okay? For those of you online, type in east of the city. So there, what it says, there he made himself a shelter and he sat in its shade and he waited to see what would happen in the city. So what he's done is he's preached in the city, and now he's gone out of the city, and he's setting down. But he went east of the city. And I want to see that's very interesting to me, because it was a specific direction, and I wanted to find out, why did he go east of the city? And you study this out, you'll find out that it's important in the Bible, because anyone that travels east is often, it represents that you're moving towards exile or moving towards bondage. And many times in Scripture, when someone's traveling east, they're either moving away from God's will or they're moving into bondage. And let me show you a few examples. I wanted you to see this. I'm not just making this up. So in Genesis chapter 3, it says, because of Adam's sin, God sent Adam out of the garden. Which way? To the east. Genesis chapter 4, we can see where Cain, he left the presence of the Lord and he lived in the land of Nod. And the land of Nod was east of Eden. All right, Genesis chapter 13, we can find where Abram and Lot, they part ways. They're going each other, they're dividing up and they're going separate ways. And Lot chose to go which direction? He went east. And where did he go? To Sodom. Was Sodom a good place? No, it was a pretty evil place. Okay, one more. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 16 says that their backs turned toward the temple of the Lord. Men faced away from the temple toward what direction? east and they worshiped the sun. So you can see that east is a representation of exile or moving away from God's will. And so what did Prophet Jonah do? He didn't obey, then he did obey, and he had impure motives and all this stuff. But it says that he went east of the city, which was symbolizing to me perhaps that he's probably not trusting God again, another time in his life. And so for me, this gets a little bit personal, because when you look at it, you see Jonah, he was the prophet and he claimed God. All through the scripture, we can read in here, you can see in here, sometimes he calls him my Lord or the Lord or Lord. And so Jonah, he claimed God, but in this case, he had his back turned towards God. He's saying, God, I claim you and your ways, but once again, I've got my back turned to you. I'm going east because I don't know if I can trust you. And what this does is what this shows us is that it is possible to claim God, yet live with your back to him. I want us to think about that for just a minute. It's possible to claim God, but yet live with your back to him. And I say this morning with a heavy heart this morning, but it's not uncommon to see this in the church today. It really isn't. People say, Jesus saved me. And they know him as Savior, but they don't know him as Lord. You see, you say, I want him to do what I want him to do, but then I'm just going to turn my back and I'm going to do whatever I want to do. But the Bible tells us that one day that Jesus is going to look at us. And people are going to say, Lord, I did all these things. I did all these works in your name. I went to church and I did all these good things, Lord. And Jesus is going to say, but hey, man, you had your back to me. And he's going to say, he said, go away. I don't even know you. We didn't have a relationship. And that breaks my heart because there's so many people today that they say, Lord is my Savior. But then when God asks them to do something, the first thing they want to do is just turn their back. And they want to live this way a little bit. I believe in God. He saved me, but boy, if God's going to ask me to do something, I've got my back to him because I've got some things I want to do. I have a direction that I want to go. I have things that I need, and we live that way. But the beautiful thing is that whenever we live this way, that all we have to do is turn and repent and ask Jesus to forgive us. But you see, it's really easy to want him to be Savior, but to not know him as Lord. And I want to say this as lovingly and as pastorally as I can, because I wonder if there's anybody here, you claim God with your lips, but you're living with your back to him. Told you this wasn't going to be easy for me to preach. It's not easy for you to hear, I understand. But all you got to do this morning is I want you to understand that we serve a gracious and a compassionate God who's slow to anger and abounding in love. And so here we have Jonah, and I'm actually starting to understand him. The more I studied this, the more I read about him, the more I begin to understand him. And the reason that I understand him is because I see a little bit of myself in him. You see, here's Jonah, and he's being a big old baby, right? How many of you, just don't raise your hands, but just elbow the baby right beside you, all right? We're all can be a big baby sometimes. I'm thankful I'm not sitting there by Miss Shelley because she'd have been, bow, I'd have been out in the aisle. She knows I can be a big baby at times. But here's Jonah, and he's got his feelings hurt. Anybody get your feelings hurt and you become a big old baby? Well, here's Jonah, and he's mad, and he's uncomfortable, and he's baking out here in this hot sun, setting out east of the city, and we're going to look at Jonah 4:6 in just a second, but before we do, I want us to see that God provided a couple of things, okay? Remember in chapter 1, the Lord provided a fish, and we're going to see in the next few verses here where God provides a few more things, all right? So the Lord provided a leafy plant and made it grow over Jonah to give him shade for his head to ease his discomfort. So here again, we serve a gracious God, right? And Jonah, the Bible says, was very happy about the plant. So first, God provides a fish to save Jonah, and then he provides a plant to cover him, and he was very happy about it. Now, I want us to see that this word happy, I don't think it really describes the way Jonah felt. The Hebrew word for it is waisama, and it means rejoice greatly, or it means exceedingly overjoyed. Like, it's not like I just found a $20 bill in my pants. It's like I won the lottery happy, okay? This is how happy he is. He's excited because he felt like he was going to die, and God provides for him. And so he was very happy. And the reason he was happy is because God eased his discomfort, right? Because God did something for him. And he was very happy. You see, he wasn't happy because all the people in the city turned to Jesus. He's not happy about that. He's happy about what God did for him, right? And sometimes it's the way I feel because it's still all about me. And this is the way Jonah was. It was still all about him, and he was happy. And that's the part that makes me uncomfortable because I see myself in that sometimes. You see, Jonah, he loved receiving the provisions and the blessings from God. But you know what God was about to do to Jonah? He was about to teach him a lesson and not give him a blessing. And sometimes God promotes us by allowing us to pass some tests every once in a while. And he's about to give Jonah a little object lesson. And Jonah didn't like lessons, right? How many of us like lessons? No. He's like some of us. Jonah wanted to skip God's lessons and get right to God's blessings, right? And so God was about to teach him this lesson. And so God provided a plant, and Jonah started to get comfortable in this shade. And here's what I've noticed. It's about the time that we begin to get comfortable is whenever God decides to start stretching our faith. The moment that we get comfortable, that's whenever God tends to show us that we still need him by teaching us a lesson. And so we're going to see that God provided two more things for Jonah in verse 7. It tells us this. It says, but at dawn the next day, God provided a worm. So he's provided a fish, he's provided a plant, and now he's provided a worm. But the worm, it chewed up the plant so that it withered. I'm going to tell you this. I told you this was a weird story, right? It's going to have a weird ending through all of this. But God works through all things, right? Even the weird stuff. Even through me. Praise God for that. So God provided a worm and he chewed the plant so that it withered, the Bible says. It says when the sun rose, and I want you to watch this, God provided a scorching, what kind of wind? East wind. There it is again. And the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. So again, Jonah wanted to die. Jonah's throwing another fit. It'd just be better for me to die than to live, Lord, he says. And so Jonah's having another pity party. I think Jonah was the king of drama, right? He was being a drama king. And being this big old pathetic baby like sometimes we can be. But before we criticize him too much, I just want to tell you right now that I really do. I love that the Bible includes all these details about Jonah and about his emotions because he's just a real man. And this guy, he's all over the place, right? He's up, he's down, he's disobeying, he's obeying, he's worshiping God, he's mad at God. He's all over the place. And I don't know about you, but I can be like that at times too. And so I looked at some research on Jonah and about his personality because I wanted to find out what kind of a mindset this guy might have. And so I was reading in a source, and it said that there's three possible root issues that Jonah had on his behavior. And I want to show these to you. And you just might ask yourself, do you see yourself in any of these? Because I don't. No, I saw myself in every one of them, I'm going to be honest with you. So the first one is this. It says that he had erratic mood swings, ranging from courageous obedience to extreme dissatisfaction and anger, suggesting underlying frustration and the need to control. Check. There's me right there. All right. Next one he says is that he had entitlement tendencies, focusing on his own views of justice and expecting God and others to operate within his parameters. Check. So the third one, he had a depressive symptoms coming through feelings of either burnout, sadness, anger, and hopelessness. Now, I don't know about you, but the good news for me is that that's not true for me today, but it has been true in the past. So I have to say, check. So it's easy for us to see and to criticize all the drama that Jonah's doing, because I get it. Because I can obey God with all this great faith one moment, and then I can ignore God and do my own thing the next day. You see, I've found myself at times in the presence of God, worshiping Him with passionate, heartfelt adoration, if you will. And the very next day, I can act like He didn't even exist. I'm being honest with you, okay? I can be completely obedient when God prompts me at times to say something. I can be completely obedient. And then the very next day, I can be like, oh, I don't know if that was God, and just walk on by. You see, I hate the lessons, but I love God's blessings. I can relate to Jonah. And so what does God do? God provides shade, and the next day God provides a worm, and the worm eats the plant. And so now Jonah's saying, okay, just kill me. This sun's about to kill me, and I just give up, God. This is unbelievable. After all the things I've done for you, I risked my life going into that city and preaching to those evil people, and I told them what you told me to tell them. And then here I am, and he's all upset again. And so I want us to look at, how does Jonah end, all right? How does this series end? I want you to know there's no season 5 coming next, but you know. So are you ready for it? Are you ready to see how this thing ends? Don't miss it, all right? This is how it ends. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And Jonah's kind of like this. He's, it is. He says, I'm angry. I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you've been concerned about this plant, though you didn't tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I, now this is God speaking, he said, should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? There it is. There's your ending right there. It's over. Did you miss it? let me say it again. And also many animals. The plane just landed. Whoop, that's it. There's no more. Also many animals. Like, come on, God, you're the author and the finisher of our faith. Could you not have ended this story any better than that? You know, that's what you kind of think when you read this story. You're like, God, there's got to be more to that, you know? And I mean, to me, I'm like, come on, God, I need to know the real ending. Did you change Jonah's heart? Did he submit to you and start following you the rest of his life? Did he die? And if so, how? Did he get mercury poisoned from the whale? I mean, I don't know. Did the worm eat him? I need to know, Lord. Inquiring minds want to know, right? But it says, and also many animals. So God says to Jonah, he says, you're going to throw a fit and you're going to cry about a plant that you didn't even tend, but you won't cry over these people that didn't know me. You won't be happy and celebrate over all of those that came to know me. And so sadly, this is just another way, when I look at Jonah's life, that can remind me of myself and maybe many of us in this room. Because one of the last things that Jesus says before he ascends into heaven is, he tells us, he says, go into all the world and to preach the gospel, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's saying, go into all the world. And I'm going to tell you, there's times that I haven't gone across the street to tell people that Jesus loves them. He says, go into all the world. And how many times have we heard that? And we won't even cross the street to tell somebody about Jesus. You see, we want God to save us. We want God's blessings. But then we also want to say, but God, I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to give. I'm not going to serve. I'm not going to read your word. Like, I'm happy to receive the mercy of God, but I'm also going to reject the mission of God. I told you, chapter 4 is tough, and it's weird, and it's complicated. And so I want us to do this. I want us to go back to where we started in week number 1. And I want to ask you the same question that I asked you kind of jokingly in the first day. I asked it kind of playfully, and I think some of us missed it. But this time I think you're going to get it. And I asked you, I said, who is the main character in the story of Jonah? And I gave you a hint that it's not Jonah, right? So who's the main character? It's God. You see, Jonah had issues just like you and me. This story is not about Jonah. It's about God. But Jonah had issues just like you and me. And I want you to notice this. Jonah's attitude never changed God's character. It didn't matter how bad he threw a fit, how much he complained, how much he rebelled. God was still God. God didn't change, because our God is always a gracious, compassionate God who's slow to anger and abounding in love. You see, he's abounding in love. He's overflowing in love. So in other words, love isn't just something that God does. It's who he is. And so I questioned myself on this. I said, so why did we do 4 weeks in the book of Jonah? It's because Jonah actually points us to Jesus in the New Testament, people. And then we can also see that Jesus points back to Jonah in the Old Testament. We looked at it a couple weeks ago whenever we looked at Matthew chapter 12. We got to remember that Jesus said this. Remember, he said just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights as well. And then Jesus says this, and he says, and now something greater than Jonah is here. Can I tell you this morning what is greater than Jonah? It also starts with a J, and his name is Jesus. You see, he's the Son of God. He's the perfect one. He's the spotless lamb. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the soon coming King of kings and Lord of lords this morning. And he's greater than Jonah because why? Jonah ran from God and Jesus surrendered to God. Jonah fought for his own will and Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. Jonah couldn't stomach the sinners, but Jesus said, I came for them. I love them. And he died for them. Amen. Yes. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning for what he's done. The reason there's a difference is because Jesus has the heart of God. And our God is a gracious and compassionate God who is slow to anger and is abounding in love. And so for some of you, you may be a little bit like Jonah this morning. Sometimes you're close to God, and sometimes you ignore him. Sometimes you worship him, and sometimes you don't like the things that he does. Sometimes you're happy, and sometimes you're sad. And someone right now, you may be afraid, you're worried, you're anxious. You're alone. You're battling depression and you're losing hope. I may be speaking to someone this morning that you may feel a little bit like Jonah and you think that your life's not even worth living anymore. But I want to say something to you, and I don't want you to hear it from me. I want you to hear it straight from heaven. I want you to hear this. You are never alone. Our God will never leave you, and he'll never forsake you. Even when you feel helpless with our God, you're not hopeless. You're never hopeless. Our God is for you. He's not against you. Because the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And our God doesn't just call, but he calls us back. When we step away, when we turn our back towards him, he calls us back. And all we have to do is turn and call. call on the name of the Lord. But I want you to remember what I said last week. I said, every chance from God demands a choice from you. So if you're here this morning and God has given you a second chance, He demands an answer. He demands a choice. Are you going to keep with your back towards Him, or are you going to turn and face Him and repent and let God relent and let God wash away your sins? Stand with me if you would. Everybody just bow your heads and let's worship the Lord. Father, we worship you this morning and we give you glory and honor in this place. We thank you for who you are. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would do a work in your people this morning.